Hello, everyone. Welcome to Live Through Jesus Weekly Devotion. On this episode, bring your problems to the one who can solve them. As I read the story about Hannah and her husband and how they couldn't have any children and how she finally brought her problem to the Lord, I thought about several things. And so that is what this blog post, this devotion is about this week, is just what I was thinking about pertaining to us, how we should bring our problems to the Lord and what that looks like. And so I want to ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you had a problem and you called everyone you know to try to help you fix this problem? You have been on the phone continuously. You're looking for experts. You're looking for anyone with power, anyone with knowledge, anyone that can do something for you. And you're starting to lose hope because everyone you call is like either they don't know what to do or they don't have the power to do it or they just don't really care about you all that much and they don't want to do anything for you, right? And so you're starting to lose hope. And then all of a sudden, you talk to this person, just like you go to a restaurant or something and someone sees you and they can tell that you're upset. And the woman is like, you know, you seem like you're upset. Is there anything I can do for you? And you start to tell her your problem. And you find out this woman is the daughter to the king. You live in a country where there is a king who has the power to say yay or nay to anything, and you've just met his daughter. And you start to give her this problem that you're so upset about, and she's sympathetic to it. And she says, you know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to talk to my dad about this because I see that you're having a big problem and I want to help you fix it. And so she goes to her dad and she tells him and he says, bring the lady here. Let's talk with her. And so if you got this phone call from the daughter and the daughter said, hey, my dad wants to meet with you, would you still keep making phone calls? Would you still keep trying to figure things out on your own? No, you would be elated and you would be relieved and you would try to get in as soon as you could with the king, but you would be at peace until you got to talk to him, right? And then say that you do speak with him. And when you talk to him, you realize that he's listening to you. Like he isn't hurrying you. He's giving you time to tell him all of your problems. And you're able to just totally pour your heart out to him. And he also seems sympathetic, right? You can tell that he cares. You don't know when you leave there what exactly he's going to do about it, but you know that he has the capability to do something about it. He cares about it, and you feel that he's going to follow up. Would you walk away and then be like, well, I'm glad I got to talk to the king, but he gave me no answer, so I'm going to keep making phone calls, or I'm going to keep trying to figure things out, or I'm going to be just bothered by this until I get an answer? No, you would be like, I've given it to the only person that can literally do anything about this, and there's no one else to call, right? Absolutely no reason to continue to try to figure this out, no reason to try to call anyone, no reason to worry about it anymore, because if he can't help you, then your problem is not going to get solved, right? And so no reason to sit and think about it any further. And, you know, there's not a person like that, really, on this earth. No person, even if they have tons and tons of power, no person has all the knowledge in the world and knows how to help every single person in the world at the same time. And most likely, even if you happened to know the person with power, they're not going to be like your highest priority. You know, they're not going to care about you so much that they're going to move heaven and earth to get you what you need, right? There's no person on earth like that. And so that sounds upsetting. It's like, yeah, I know. Believe me, I've tried. I've looked for everybody in the world to try to help me. And that you're right. There is no one. But here's the deal. We actually do have access to the one that has all the power over heaven and earth. He is the king of the whole universe. And we have access to him. We can go to him anytime. And we can ask him for anything. In Psalm 24, 1-2 and verse 8, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. He has founded it. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. And so not only does God have all of the power in the world, he's the king of the world, but he also loves us more than we can even fathom. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how much he loves us. And so he has all the power. He loves each one of us more than we could possibly imagine. And he has the power, the knowledge to know exactly what's best for every single person on earth at all times, and is able to do something about it. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. And so if we have access to the person that has all the power, all the knowledge, and all the love for us, then why in the world do we even look for human help at all, right? At least before we turn to him. Yes, he uses people to help us, but why don't we turn to him first? Why does it sometimes take us this total desperation and hopelessness before we turn to God, right? Why is that? He's the one that can actually help us. Why don't we turn to him first? And then when we do turn to him, why don't we turn to him like he's an actual king? Why don't we treat him like he has all the power, knowledge, and love in the world? You know, sometimes I go to God like I already know the answer. Like I've got this whole plan and I just need his power to carry it out, right? And this reminded me of what I taught my daughter when she was really, really little. And I was watching her and her friend play with her doctor kit. And when my daughter was the doctor, she was great. But when she was the patient, she was still playing doctor. And so I called her over and I'm like, hey, listen, when you're the patient, here's what you've got to do. You don't tell someone, you know, take my temperature or take my blood pressure or listen to my heart or look in my throat. You don't do that. What you do is you say, I have a headache or my throat is hurting or, you know, my arm has been bothering me. And then the doctor gets to decide whether they're going to take your temperature or look in your throat, how they're going to deal with this, right? And so my daughter's like, okay. And then she goes and does this, right? Because she's young. She doesn't know how all of these things work. And I think sometimes I need to tell myself with God, that with God, right? I need to say, Courtney, when you're the human, you don't need to tell God what to do, right? Instead, you just tell him what's wrong with you and then let him decide what to do about it. He has all the tools. He's the expert. You just have a problem, right? That's all you really know. And so you don't know how to fix it. So quit telling the one with all the knowledge in the world how to do his job. Just tell him what your problem is and then let him fix your problem. Let him handle it. Leave it with him. You know, that's hard. Maybe some of you are like that also. Proverbs 21:30 says, there's no wisdom or understanding or counseling against God. So we can't counsel him. We can't tell him what the best way is to handle this. Lord, would you please do this and this and this? No, this is my problem. Please help me with it. That's what we should do. And then, you know, speaking of trust, this is another thing that I'm not always good at, because sometimes I bring him my problem and I say, God, this is my problem. Please help me with it. But then I don't leave it there. Then I go home and I get back on the phone, right? I start calling people. I start trying to figure it all out on my own. I start, you know, looking to other people. And this must hurt God's feelings so much, because he's like, you don't trust me? And it's like, I thought I did. I logically in my head know that you're powerful and that you're perfect and that you're good and that you know what you're doing and that I don't know what I'm doing. I know all these things. So why do I do this? I don't know, because I'm a fallible human, you know? But we should be where we feel at peace whenever we leave our meeting with God, just like if we were meeting with the king. We should feel complete peace. And this is what really got me to thinking about it, is the story of Hannah, because Hannah felt such turmoil that she couldn't even enjoy the feast that they were there to enjoy. She was sick to her stomach because of the fact that she couldn't have any children and she couldn't even eat. And then she goes and prays. And before God gives her an answer, he doesn't tell her he's going to give her a child. And he gives her no proof that he ever will. And yet she leaves there and she's able to eat. She's able to enjoy herself at this feast. And I'm thinking, that's what we should be like, right? We should be able to leave our meeting with God in total, complete peace, knowing that he's taking care of it. And so I'm like, why is she doing that? Did the Lord's spirit just speak to her spirit and say, I'm going to actually give this to you? And so no, God didn't audibly tell her he was going to give her a son, but she just felt it in her being because God's spirit had spoken to her. I've had this happen to me before and God did tell me, yes, Courtney, I'm going to do what you ask. I never heard his voice verbally, but I always felt it. I just always felt like he's going to do this thing for me. And so my question, instead of for a while, you know, I was praying, God, will you please do this for me? I need this. Please, please do this for me. And eventually my prayer became, when are you going to do it? Can it be today? Please, God, let it be today. And so I just knew it. In my spirit, I knew it. And he did. Eventually, he did this for me. And so I believe that God could have spoken to her spirit and just given her that peace. But I've also had the peace without any proof or promise, right? I've gone to him in complete despair. And I'm like, God, I'm in a panic. I don't know what to do. This is not going to work out. I do not feel good about this. This is going to be a disaster. This is my problem. And the Lord just, as soon as I got done speaking to him, I just felt like it's going to be okay. I had no idea how. God had not told me his plan. God had not even told me that it was going to be okay. But I just felt in complete peace. And I had hope for the future. Even though just a moment ago, I was, you know, shattered. I thought, this is never going to work, right? And so in that case, God had given me the peace that passes all understanding that he talks about in Philippians 4:6-7. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And that's what he did for me. So maybe that's what he did for her. We don't know why God withholds some things from us and gives us other things. We don't know that. And we don't know why we don't always get the answer that we want, but we do know that we can trust him. As long as we have access to the one that has all of the power, then we always have hope, right? Unlike an earthly power who may only give us like a small little meeting, we have access to God 24/7. So we can keep going to him over and over and over again. And he can keep helping us in whatever way that he sees fit, that he knows is best for us. And so, you know, we might still be sad. We might have to wait. He might not fix our problem in the way that we want him to, but we know that we've left it in the best possible hands. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And so unlike those on earth that might have power but don't have knowledge, or those that have love and understanding but have no power, God has all three. He knows exactly what is right for every single person on the face of the earth. So what he does for me that's right is not going to hurt someone else. He knows that. No person knows those things. He has all of our best interests at heart, and he has the power to work all things together for our good and his glory. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so he can do these things. We can trust him. And so though we may feel powerless in ourselves, in him, we have all the power in the world, right? And so we don't have to worry about the fact that we can't fix it. We don't have to go find someone else. If we or they had the power to do it, we wouldn't have the knowledge or the love, right? And so we won't do it as well as him anyway. So why not just give him our problems and let the one who has all the power and knowledge and love in the world solve those problems? Why don't we just take them to him, lay them at his feet, and walk away? Leave them there. And while we're at it, you know, leave him all your needs and all your wants and all your worries and all your fears and all your cares and all your concerns. Leave them at his feet. Let the Savior of the world take care of you. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is saying, this is too heavy for you. Come and bring me your burden and leave it here. You can't carry it. And so if he was willing to die for us, then isn't he worthy of taking care of us? Has he not proven his love and power enough for us to trust him? Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his own love towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We can trust him. So take your problems and lay them at his feet. That's what I learned from Hannah this week. And so I hope that this has been an encouragement to you. And I hope that you are able to go to the King of the universe and lay your problems at his feet. So that's all we have for this week. If you'd like to read this blog post instead of just listening, you can go to livethroughjesus.substack.com. You can read it there for free. You can also go to my other channel, Live Through Jesus, and you can listen to the full study that we do each week for free. We are in 1 Samuel, and we're talking about Samuel. And then you can also become a paid subscriber, and you can receive each one of the studies for free and all of the previous studies. So we've got Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and now Samuel. And so you'll get those emailed to you each week and access to the previous ones. So those are all of the things. I hope you will join me in some way. Join me on social media also, and I'll be posting scriptures from this and clips from this. So I hope that this has been encouraging to you. Thanks, and have a good day.